You're listening to Vatican Radio. As the COP23 conference on climate change moves into its second week in Bonn, Germany, a delegation of leaders from the Pacific Island states arrived at the talks over the weekend. They hope to play a key role in discussions on how to implement the 2015 Paris Agreement on cutting carbon emissions and helping to prevent global warming. Pope Francis met at the weekend with the delegation of leaders from the Pacific Islands Forum to share his concerns about the impact of rising sea levels on vulnerable island, coastal and fishing communities. The Pope called for global cooperation, for solidarity and strategies to address the deterioration of the environment and the health of the oceans. He blamed many of the causes of this environmental decay on short-sighted human activity, provoked by the exploitation of natural and human resources. Just ahead of that papal audience, I spoke to two of the Pacific Island leaders, Taneti Mamau, President of the Republic of Kiribati, and Fiame Naomi Matafa, Deputy Prime Minister of Samoa, at an encounter hosted by the Australian Embassy to the Holy See.
My name is Tanis Mamau, currently the President of the Republic of Kiribati.
Most of our listeners will know nothing about your country at all. Describe it to us in a few words, if you can.
Of course, yes, sure. Kiribati is a sovereign republic located right in the middle of the Pacific. We normally call ourselves the heart of the Pacific. And there are 33 islands all spread out across the equator.
Tell us a bit about how climate change is affecting these 33 islands. What effects has it had already on the lives of the people there?
Climate change is a very serious problem to Kiribati. It's affecting the livelihood of Kiribati in terms of the coastal erosion, as well as the water, affecting the water's quality, in terms of also affecting the roads. Sometimes schools have to be partly closed as students have to come late to school. Also, there are droughts, some sages. Once have the cyclone Pam, which we rarely have cyclones, but in 2015 there was this. The scale is not that much, but certainly it's affected the coastal areas mainly.
Is this at certain times of the year? Can you predict when you will have these particular problems, or is it becoming a problem all year round?
Like now, it's becoming a problem, a regular problem. Some sages are now becoming regular, especially these king tides. Usually before, we don't have that high tides. And they are not that scary and not destructive in a way, but now they are. And the droughts are getting regular too, so we have to sort of alternatives in terms of water supplies.
What are the alternatives in terms of water supplies?
That's a good question. Right now, we are supplying the rainwater harvesting, but that will depend on the rain, if the rain falls. Or it comes around, which is quite occasional too. But there are non-renewable sources, like water desalination plants using the solar-powered ones. We are also exploring the water from the thermal, from the ocean. There's a new technology, but we are also looking into that.
All of these new technologies are very expensive, aren't they?
Definitely they are, and especially when we don't have the capacity. As you're right, the maintenance issue will be another one. It's the standardization of these new technologies. But sometimes you have to go for it. There are no alternatives, especially when the islands are small and don't have much resources to produce all these kinds. We have to import them.
What are you hoping for from the COP23 conference in Bonn?
Well, there's a commitment we are expecting from the bigger partners, especially the producers of coal producing countries. There have been targets set in terms of minimizing these temperatures. We hope that they'll come up with more serious commitments, as well as in financing. We expect more in financing because it's just too slow. I mean, the processes and procedures are too cumbersome, and we can't wait till people are crying out.
How seriously has this problem affected lives of people there? Are people trying to leave the islands, to move elsewhere perhaps?
Well, I'm surprised people are not ready to move out. They want to stay in their countries. And as a new government, they are aware we go for the non-migration, building up capacity of our people to stay in the islands. We don't believe that Kiribati will be sinking. We believe that we will have to maintain and preserve our islands. With the help of the donors, yes, we can do that.
Pope Francis, as you know, has written an important document about environmental issues and particularly about the people who are affected by climate change and other environmental problems. What message are you bringing to him?
Well, thank you. I just opened a summit back home, and we have a Kiribati vision for 20 years, looking more on the longer time frame with fisheries and tourism as the main pillars. And, well, climate change is a broadcasting issue, which we can't leave it out. But I recall when I opened the summit just last week, we had delegates from the outer islands all over the country, all the leaders from the outer islands, they all came to Tarawana. I said to them, climate change, mind you, is a real threat. And I'm going up to COP23. On our way, I'm going to meet His Holy Father. In answer to the invitation, he extended to the Pacific leaders. And I've read his letter, what do you call that?
Laudato
Si. Yes, a lovely one. I haven't actually finished. But the theme that strikes me is this. He was looking more or less from a biblical point of view. It's not only science, but he looks at it from a human point of view, which I really admire because, yes, the earth is our home, it's our mother home. That's what Pope Francis said. And we have to take care of it. That's the mandate we were supposed to be given, a divine mandate to look after it. But instead, sometimes we are too greedy, hoping that we can take everything in our hands to satisfy our needs and our wants. But sometimes it's a bit too much, and it's causing a lot of trouble too. So I think we are more or less to be blamed in destroying the homes, the Mother Earth. So my message to Pope Francis is thank you. Your letter was an inspirational one, reminding us leaders that we have a duty to regenerate and find ways, more environmental ways of managing the environment, knowing that the fault is more or less on the humans, the human beings. So yes, I appreciated his message. It sounds very clear that the problems are not only scientific, more than scientific, they are human-induced.
You said that the processes and the procedures are very long and complicated. Do you still believe that we are in time to resolve this problem, to make sure that countries like your own don't end up in a very much more serious situation than they are today?
It depends. But we have a duty to tell the world through our voice, through our little voice. But sometimes there's a change in priorities and strategies. The bigger partners, they have their own interest to look after their people and in terms of employment and in terms of meeting the development needs. But I think there's always time if we... The negotiation is a lengthy process, but we have to, like the Pacific people, we have to consolidate our voice together with our bigger partners like Australia and New Zealand, because we are together in this forum member country. So we have to consolidate ourselves. But certainly, the process may be long, but I think at the end of the road, there's hope.
My name is Fiamme Naomi Mataafa. I'm the Deputy Prime Minister for Samoa, but I'm also the Minister for Natural Resources and the Environment.
So you're right at the heart of this question. I'm going to ask you straight off then. You're heading off to Bonn for this important COP23 meeting. What are your hopes? What is the message that you're taking from Samoa to this conference?
You know, the Pacific has been very strongly advocating for the 1.5 degree level of emissions. Of course, you know, it's at 2 degrees, but the Pacific has always been pushing for the 1.5. So I think that's one of the key messages we want to continue on. The other issue we're looking at, and I think it's not just the Pacific, but the parties. I mean, people, I think, are looking at what is the significance of America moving out, so to speak. How will that impact the work going forward? But I think more importantly as well, you know, if we can strategize as a community of parties as to how, you know, when a significant partner or contributor like the United States changes its position, then I think one of the things that we might have to look at, you know, will that in fact be a lever that other countries might sort of suddenly take up? And if that was to happen, it would be quite catastrophic in terms of the Paris Agreement. I mean, that was historic. In fact, a lot of people before they actually made the agreement actually thought it wouldn't happen. But it did happen.
As you say, the Paris Agreement talks about the 2 degrees for the reduction. You're talking 1.5. Many people believe that 2 degrees is going to be very, very difficult to achieve. 1.5 is simply utopian. What do you say to that?
In terms of numbers, it's actually quite small, you know, 1.5 to 2. I think it's more the message of it's a serious issue. And in fact, the science is now saying, you know, that the rate has picked up, you know, in terms of the emissions. It's not getting better, it's actually getting worse. So it's very urgent. I think the Pacific, in talking about the 1.5, was trying to be realistic, even if we achieved that, because perhaps we don't really believe 2 is all that good an outcome as well.
Tell us a bit about how you're seeing climate change already affecting your country and the region.
For the low-lying atoll countries, Tuvalu, Kiribati, Tokelau, I mean, most of the islands that have a larger number of islands have atolls. I mean, even in my country, Samoa, but we're predominantly volcanic, so the loss of land isn't as extreme as the countries that are mostly low-lying. We're already seeing the impact there, not only in the encroachment on the land, but more seriously to the water tables, which is very critical for people's livelihoods. And so, you know, Fiji has already offered Tuvalu and Kiribati, especially, that, you know, if they had the need to move, then, you know, Fiji. And in fact, both countries have purchased land in Fiji. So the reality is there, it's happening. And of course, the whole question of sovereignty is there. What happens to a country when they lose their land? How do you redetermine your sovereignty, maintain your cultural identities, and so forth? So it has many implications.
Are people trying to react to this by leaving, by going abroad? Or do most people want to stay despite the obvious risks that they're facing in many places?
Well, I think there's always been migration from the Pacific, as there is all around the world. But I think for the Pacific, being climate refugees is something that's going to be happening in their reality. And it's even now. So, you know, you lose your land, and already that encroachment is there, and people will leave. But of course they want to stay. But then, you know, when the circumstances are such that the sea rise takes over their land, there's no other option.
What is your message to people here in the West, many of whom don't even know where Samoa is on the map, have no idea of the kind of challenges that you're facing?
I don't think the Pacific wants to say that this is a problem that affects only us. No, I don't think that's the message of the Pacific. I think the message of the Pacific is saying this is a global problem. Of course, the immediacy of the issue is there for us, but I think it's there for everyone. I mean, you know, we're seeing the natural disasters all around the world, you know, the cyclones in the Caribbean and on the coastal United States, the frequency, the strength of those disasters, you know, these are things that just keep on climbing up, the fires. And I think, you know, the oceans now, and this is the other issue I think that the Pacific is wanting to take to Bonn, is that link between the ocean and what's happening in the ocean and climate change. And I think those cyclones are scientific proof, because usually, you know, it's the oceans that temper hurricanes and cyclones and so forth, but it hasn't been able to do that.
So it's a warning that we should be observing now before it's too late.
Yes, for everyone, not just for the Pacific. We're more the face of it because it's so much more immediate and urgent for us. But I think if we're all honest, I don't think there's one country in the world that can't say they haven't been affected by climate change.